Good morning.
Good morning.
Buenos días. Ciao. I just exhausted all my Vietnamese. Welcome all of you. We want to keep in our minds in prayer during the Mass a gentleman who fainted on the way into the church. Before things were starting, that he's safe. And he was okay when we left, but we wanted to pray for him, his quick recovery. There, of course, in any new endeavor are a lot of first things that you ever did. This is the first time I've ever been on this side of this homily. And so I'll see if I can keep it under 40 minutes. I was looking around carefully in the cathedral, and even last night during the Vesper service, because I'm pretty sure that there are Pokemon in here. There have to be. All of these images. Actually, it stands to reason because the church is actually the originator. It is on the great cathedrals, the great medieval cathedrals, that we find the first Pokemon, the little grotesqueries, the gargoyles, right? Up on the edges of those buildings, keeping watch over the people inside, keeping them safe, right? So it's just another example of the so-called modern world trying to keep up with the so-called ancient out-of-church, out-of-touch church. We knew Pokemon before it was cool. On the other hand, what does it even matter, right? Pokemon is a game. It's a game that you play on a computer. Real life is much more interesting than the virtual world of Pokemon. If you conquer Pokemon in the virtual world, virtually nothing happens. Get that, virtual? Pretty good. I worked on it a lot. I thought it was pretty good. You guys get it? Everybody younger than 20 got it, right? If you conquer Pokemon in the virtual world, virtually nothing happens because it's not the real world. On the other hand, when we conquer the grotesqueries, the little grotesqueries, the little gargoyles, the little devils and temptations that surround us in our daily life, when we conquer those things, the world changes, our heart changes, our life changes, we draw closer to God, and when we draw close to God, He equips us, He makes us capable of changing the world. But we can't conquer any of these little grotesqueries on our own. We can't do it by our own power. We have none, actually. We're pretty weak. We can only do it through the high priest. There is only one high priest. We're here today to ordain two men as priests, but there is only one high priest. Jesus Christ is the high priest. Not merely 2,000 years ago, but yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is the high priest who equips his disciples to do battle in this world against these little things that plague us. But we're very distracted. We live in a very distracted world. And so the priesthood of Jesus Christ is not well understood. Sometimes not even by his own people. We sometimes fail to appreciate the gift of it. For example, many in the world would say that because the priest does not know sex, he does not know love. Because he lives this celibate existence, he does not know love. I had this very conversation with my barber. Seriously, I did. I never met her before. It was a super guy, you know. She got so distracted, she cut all my hair off. She wasn't Catholic. She could not grasp the idea of a celibate commitment made for love. The idea that because the priest does not know sex, he does not know love. Jesus Christ, the high priest, did not know sex. Jesus Christ is love. He is the love of the Father. Jesus Christ does not know love. He did not have love. He is love itself. Anything in this world that is said about love that is true participates in Jesus Christ, who is love, even if it's said by people who don't know it. There is no love in this world that is true that does not participate in Jesus Christ, who is love. And he makes his priest to be like him. He conforms his priest to be like him, to be men who live a celibate commitment made in love for the sake of love, so that they can be vessels of his love. We live in a world that says that because the priest does not have a lot of money, can't be happy. He doesn't have a lot of things. The axiom of the world that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. And the priest doesn't have a lot of toys. Which is not really true. We're doing okay. We've got a dental plan, right? Hey. Right? The IRS thinks we're doing pretty well, right? Some of us are pretty well fed. Okay. That believes that unless you have a lot of money, you can't be happy. But Jesus Christ lived as a beggar. The high priest walked the streets of Galilee as a beggar. He had no money. And yet, he has everything. He owns everything. He's the ultimate sole, what do you call it in canon law? The sole owner, the corporate soul. Huh? He's the ultimate corporation soul. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through Him, everything came to be that is. And without Him, nothing came into being. Jesus Christ is the source of everything that exists. He had no money, but He had everything that matters. When this world and this universe pass away, which they will, everything that does not matter will pass away with them, and everything that does matter will be with him. And he makes his priests to be like himself, which means that they should be poor of all of those things that don't matter, and he will make them rich in everything that does matter, in everything that will endure, that will never pass away. Priests are rich in those things that endure. This confused world also imagines that unless you have power, you're not strong, you don't count. That anyone who obeys someone else is lacking power, and therefore there's something wrong with them. That obedience itself is a sign of weakness. And Jesus Christ did not have political power. Jesus Christ went to his death like a trusting lamb in weakness. He went to his death. He could have called on all of the angel armies in heaven to come and save him, and he would not do it because he was obedient to the Father's will. He loves the Father. He trusted that the Father would save him. And did he or didn't he? He did. And he makes his priest to be like himself. He conforms his priest to the sacrament of holy orders, which we will bestow today, to be like unto himself. Men who die to themselves in loving obedience and trust and who give their life to the Father's will, and in so doing are made powerful, more powerful than the Son, who are vested with the power of the sacraments, more powerful than the universe. So priests are pretty powerful. He makes them to be like himself. We also are going to ordain three deacons today, lest I forget. You thought I forgot that. You were holding your hand in. Three deacons who are ordained to the service of the church, to be servants. Perhaps the ultimate sign of the service of the deacon is this piece of my vestment right here. This is the deacon's dalmatic. I haven't worn one of these since 1995, June 2nd, 1995, the night before I was ordained as a priest. When I was fed, well, they don't have the rheumatics on, but when I was a deacon, and the reason I wear it now is because a bishop who has been invested with the fullness of the priesthood is a servant, the head servant. I'm going to make a new head for my crozier. I'm going to make a mop head. I'm the head janitor. Peter Priest said that the priest in the sacrament of confession is the garbage man. He takes out the trash. Right? Once we become servants, we remain servants forever. The whole reason why a man presents himself to be ordained as a deacon is for the sake of being equipped to serve. Serve. And then that doesn't go away when he becomes a priest. He remains a diaconate in his service, a deacon in his service. It doesn't go away when he becomes a bishop. It doesn't go away when he becomes a pope. What is one of the pope's titles? Servant of the servants of God. He remains a servant. These are things that are not well understood in the world that we live in a world that is distracted, that is so distracted that it goes around in the streets looking at our phones, searching for Pokemon. Do you say Pokemon if it's plural? Pokemon. Is there a six-year-old here? They'll know. A world that goes around searching on a phone for Pokemon. The same phone that with just a click, well, you don't click, with a swipe, could pull up the scriptures, could pull up the living word of God. The phone which lives in the virtual world but has the possibility of bringing us into the real world through the word of God. But we go around looking for Pokemon on our phone. How distracted are we in this world? No wonder the priesthood is not well understood. Brothers and sisters, that means that we have to make it understood. But we can't make it understood if we ourselves don't understand it. If we ourselves don't understand the priesthood of Jesus Christ, how can we make it known in the world? We have to first be his disciples. We have to be those people who made a decision on a certain day and then recommitted that decision every day and said, I will be the disciple of Jesus Christ. I will give my life to him. I will live for him. I will search before him. I will serve him. He will be my Lord. I will be his disciple. We will be joined together in love. A love that does not die. A love unto heaven. If we live like that, as witnesses of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, our young men will know from the ground up what a priest is. They will understand from the ground up the great high dignity of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. John Vianney said that if the priest truly understood himself, he would die of love. They will understand from the ground up the great high calling. And then those of them who are called might be snapped out of that distraction, might quit looking for Pokemon and search for the heart of Jesus Christ beating within their own body, and then present themselves to us also to be ordained first as deacons, then as priests.